Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast, and my website is www.jbsba.com. David Heyman is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. David, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, David. David is the author of the Georgetown Ladies Social Club, and he's the author of a number of other books, folks, including RFK, A Candid Biography of Robert F. Kennedy. He's also the book on Barbara Hutton. Many of you remember that poor little rich girl. And also A Woman Named Jackie, the story of Jackie Kennedy on Onassis. And he's with us right now. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
It's good to have you here. David, first let me say that my audience has probably heard me talk about Georgetown many times. I didn't like going to Washington, D.C. until about 20 years ago when I discovered Georgetown. And so that's the only place I stay now. Even when things are going on downtown, when I've got an event to attend or whatever, work on downtown, I always stay in Georgetown, at the Georgetown Inn, actually.
I know that place very well, in fact. Yeah, Georgetown is like a little village within a bigger town, you know.
It's wonderful. It's a wonderful little place to go, and we love staying there, and I've been doing it now for over 20 years. So when I heard the Georgetown Ladies Club, Social Club, of course, I knew a little bit about this because this was the name that Ronald Reagan gave them, wasn't it?
That's correct. In fact, it was Reagan who called this group of women who manned, if you'll, you know, let me use that expression, who manned the parties and the social events of Georgetown. And it came about precisely because when Reagan entered, or at least won, 1981 and was going to enter the White House in 82, he wanted to avoid the pratfalls that his predecessor, Jimmy Carter, had. Completely ignored, the old family lines of Washington. And Reagan and his wife, Nancy, both being more astute, I suppose, or at least more social than Carter, said, the president said to Nancy, listen, you know, you've got to call Evangeline Bruce and get her to introduce you to the Georgetown Ladies Social Club. And that's precisely what happened. And Evangeline threw a party inviting six of her best Georgetown friends, including Lorraine Cooper and Catherine Graham, and introduced them to Nancy. This became a very important bond in Nancy Reagan's career in Washington because, for one thing, Kay Graham became a kind of nightly call that she made to go over the press coverage that her husband was receiving in the Washington Post.
Wow.
Kind of odd insofar as the Post was lambasting the poor man by day, but by night Nancy and Kay were cozying up to each other on the telephone. So.
David, let's stop for a minute. And folks, what we should do first, though, before we go any further, is identify that there are five ladies that are the prominent members of the Georgetown Ladies Social Club, which is also the title of David's book. Catherine Graham, who was the former publisher of the Washington Post
and Newsweek,
and was there when they broke the story on the Watergate issue back in
Correct.
The 70s.
Correct.
And Lorraine Cooper and Evangeline Bruce, as you mentioned, Pamela Harriman and Sally Quinn. Now, most of us know Catherine Graham and Sally Quinn because they're just more prominent. But the other three ladies were not as familiar with. Tell us about them.
Evangeline Bruce, known to her friends as Vanjie, was the wife of David K.E. Bruce, arguably the most important and best-known American ambassador of the century. He was represented for years the United States in London, Paris, Berlin, became an envoy to China. He was one of the great American statesmen in the class, I think, with Averell Harriman, who was the husband of Pamela Harriman, and who was also extremely well-known. She was British-born, had a very lively early career as what Truman Capote labeled a courtesan role, because she was involved with so many well-known, rich, married men, such as Ellie de Rothschild, and I mean, she had been married first to Randolph Churchill, the son mm-hmm. of Winston, so that's
right.
how she rose to fame in England, and also to infamy, because she, in fact, during World War II, had an early affair with Averell Harriman, and then mm-hmm. we met him, but she became involved with Ali Khan and Gianni Agnelli of Fiat in Italy fame, and eventually became the beacon light of the Democratic Party in Georgetown. I mean, during the years when Bush Sr. and Reagan ruled the coup, she threw what were called PAMPAC affairs, raising millions of dollars for the cause, being the Democratic Party. And as Clinton said when at her funeral in the National Cathedral in Washington, he said, "I wouldn't be here if it weren't for her."
Wow.
I mean, so she, and Lorraine Cooper, the only one I never met of the five, the only one I didn't meet or even speak to. I did to all the others, but to my mind, however, is in many ways the most interesting of the five, because she was extreme. She had had an earlier life, I guess you might say. She'd been married twice to a New York socialite. She was sort of the belle of New York in the winter and Palm Beach, Florida in the summer. Came from Pasadena, California, had been educated in Europe during her childhood, spoke five or six languages, very much like Evangeline and Bruce in that respect, and in fact the two were very close friends. She married Senator John Sherman Cooper, who was a moderate Republican senator from Kentucky, an amazingly fine senator who was one of the first pro-civil rights Southern senators, and also one of the first anti-Vietnam War senators. The fact that he was a moderate Republican made him very popular on both sides of the political aisle. She made being a senatorial squaw actually an honorable position. She wrote newspaper columns in Kentucky. She campaigned with her husband. She was a forerunner of a Jackie Kennedy type.
Right. And of course, Sally Quinn is an author in her own right,
Sally Quinn played both sides of the camera. You know, she started as a party reporter for the Washington Post. In fact, she caught Ben Bradley's eye at that time, and he said to her, "It's a funny little anecdote." He said to her, "Have you ever written before?" She was very attractive as a young girl, you
uh-huh.
know. And she said, "Well, no, I never have." Mr. Bradley said, "Well, no one's perfect. You're hired."
Stand by, David. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with our new friend, C. David Heyman. And his book is called The Georgetown Ladies Social Club. Very interesting book, folks. You'll enjoy it. I know you will. You'll be informed by it as well. And when we come back, I'm going to ask him if the Carters had been a little more social, they might have made a second term. We'll ask him about that right after these messages. It's 20 after. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. Your Blasting Game, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our new friend, C. David Heyman. That's initial C, David, H-E-Y-M-A-N-N, if you want to check that out in any of the online search engines, any of the bookstores, or at your local store if you're asking for his book. It's called The Georgetown Ladies Social Club, and it's about these five powerful ladies who basically impacted the 20th century. And according to David, still are having some influence in the 21st century. David, you know, you mentioned the Carters a minute ago, and by the way, folks, this is a brand new book. It's just out, so it's available wherever books are sold. David, the when the Carters came to town, to Washington, they brought a puritanical Spartan attitude about partying, about life in general, which really kind of went against the grain of the Georgetown group. And are you trying to say, or are you saying, that if they'd been a little bit more friendly to the party group and the social group in Washington, that they might have found more friends and maybe, you know, maybe his PR wouldn't have been so bad at the end?
I think probably that's true, because, you know, they did in fact create animosity with the powers that be in Washington, and I mean, Washington is a town where almost everybody who comes in, be it a senator, a congressman, or somebody higher up like a president, is not a Washingtonian. So
right.
You've got the curry favor with the locals, and they didn't. And I think it really worked against them, and they and it got worse and worse. I mean, so that culminating, of course, in the inability of Carter to bring home the hostages.
Absolutely. And, well, and the Reagans did the opposite of that. And so, you know, a lot of people sit around scratching their head, and they say, "Wait a minute, you know, this is a town with a lot of liberals in it. The press is, you know, seems to be pretty liberal. The main paper is the one that took down the Nixon presidency, and
right.
And so, how in the world is Ronald Reagan getting so much done as a conservative Republican around here? And you're saying that basically because they were, you know, they were part of the
Well, it's a good question, and I think the reason for their knowledge and know-how of currying favor was their Hollywood background, which itself is a very social town and career. You know, the studios, 20th Century Fox, etc., MGM, I mean, these were completely based on public relations and,
right.
and the know-how of how to you know, deal with people, and they both went through the studio system.
Yeah,
and had an innate sense of what had to be done, I think.
Well, now, you actually say in your book, if I'm not mistaken, you say that the current president, George W. Bush, his presidency is actually affected by this group of ladies.
Well, I think to the extent that he is a throwback to the Carters. I mean, he's not at all, interested in the party scene. He and his wife spend virtually every weekend in Texas. Their followers don't live in Georgetown. Georgetown has changed a great deal. It's become, even though you still find it a peaceful setting, and indeed it is, but nevertheless, on the fringes of Georgetown, you see a great growth of commercialism. Streets, Wisconsin Avenue and M Street, are just filled with these fast food places that just didn't exist 20 years ago, you know.
Of course, the four of the five ladies in your list are not alive anymore. The only Sally Quinn is left.
True, but they died, for the most part. Lorraine Cooper died in 85, but the other three died in the 90s, and of course, Sally Quinn is still alive, and she is the Dowager Queen of Georgetown, for whatever that's worth.
But in the original day, she was kind of the ingenue of the group, wasn't she?
Yeah, that's her, you know, one of the things I think that makes her so interesting, that she was the hated guest at these parties because she wrote about them in a very, very kind of discursive, detailed way that these matrons didn't want to have written about them, and she now is the, you know, reigning queen, so to speak, but will not allow the working press to come to her parties.
Is there a new...
She knows the damage that they can do.
Is there a new Georgetown Ladies Social Club?
No, I think that, you know, I'd say there's a potential one, being Teresa Hines, who is the wife of John Kerry.
Right.
Possible Democratic presidential candidate. She, of course, inherited $1 billion from her husband, Senator Hines, 57 varieties of ketchup, you know, and whatever, and has the huge house in Georgetown, has the means to throw these kind of affairs and do the fundraisers, but to date has shown very little interest in all of that.
If Hillary Clinton had lost her election, do you think she would have been the new head of the Georgetown Social Club?
She didn't even choose to live in Georgetown as the senator, although she was shown several houses there. The atmosphere in Georgetown has changed a lot. You've got a lot of dot-com electronics people, multimillionaires to be sure, because you can't touch Georgetown for less than $1 million.
Right.
But the power throne that it once was, it is no longer.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's dispersed to other neighborhoods and to Maryland and Virginia, and like most places, it's decentralized.
It's a great book, folks, The Georgetown Ladies Social Club by C. David Heyman. David, thank you for being here. Good job today, and I hope you'll come back and join us another day.
Oh, I'd love to. My pleasure. Thanks so much.
Have a good day.
Thank you, David Heyman,
ladies and gentlemen, H-E-Y-M-A-N-N. Quick break. I'll be right back with Walter Isaacson. We're going to talk about America's first entrepreneur, a guy named Benjamin Franklin. Perhaps you've heard of him. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.